morning.
We have, following Presbytery recommendation and Kirk Session agreement, moved to 1 metre physical distancing. This has also removed the necessity to book on a Friday, as we have compiled a sort of master list, and we will be simply ticking you off when you come into church on a Sunday morning. It also means that we have now opened our hall and some of the other rooms within our church buildings. So after service hospitality will be available today in the hall. And we also welcome our children back into the midst of our Sunday club, which is recommencing today. Youth Seekers will be commencing next Sunday. They've decided to have another virtual day online today. In terms of hospitality, please no rush at the end. We are going to change our exit strategy, and I'm going to be asking the people on this, my left-hand side, your right-hand side of the church, from the central divide, to exit first. If you're going for tea and coffee, continue through to the hall. If you're leaving the church, leaving by the link corridor, please use the hand sanitizers and make your way out through the side door. Once the people from the left-hand side have exited, I will then ask the people on the right-hand side of the church to begin to exit. Again, if you don't want to take tea and coffee, then simply go out the side door. If, however, you wish to take tea and coffee, make your way through to the link corridor and to the hall. There's no need to stop en route for hand sanitizer. There is some sanitizer just inside the hall itself, and we ask you to use that when you access the hall and also when you leave at the end. A reminder, within our church building, the corridors, toilets, etc., we need to maintain 1 metre physical distancing, and the wearing of masks and face coverings is mandatory. You can obviously, however, remove them to enjoy your tea or coffee. Within each room, we've conducted a risk assessment, and the users will find a protocol, which is really an extrapolation from the risk assessment and gives you a list of things that really you should be complying with. Now, there's one of these in the hall for external users, and also for our internal hospitality. There is one in the Agnes Duncan room, one in the Sunday Club room, and one currently outside the Youth Seekers room. I just can't get in. I don't know what they do. Can I also ask those who normally collect their magazines at the end of the service to do so? They are on the table at the front. However, to avoid congestion, can I ask that when you do come forward, you come round by the piano, round the drums, and pick up your magazines as quickly as possible to avoid congestion. And similarly, today, can I ask the choir if they would exit by the vestry, come down the stairs, and then into the link corridor? This marks a further relaxation in our COVID-19 protection measures, but things aren't yet fully back to normal. So please heed the signage and the guidance, and let's keep one another safe. Thank you. With Amos, our minister, currently attending a conference, it now gives me great pleasure to hand over to Claire Owen, a member of our worship team, who will be leading our service of worship this morning.
Good morning, and welcome to our service this morning, whether you are here in the church building, whether you are joining us on Zoom, or whether you are listening to the recording later on from our website. You are all welcome. I would like to also extend a special welcome to anyone joining us for the first time, and also anyone who's joining us after a time away. In particular, some of our younger people who are back, mostly on this side of the church. It's lovely to see you all. Give me a wave. Hello. Yeah. I'm going to get you guys out the front later on for a little children's talk, but you can just sit there just now. So, as Francis has mentioned, we're down to 1 meter distancing, and it is lovely to see you all sitting a bit closer together and a bit more back to the normal worshipping style that we had before COVID. But let us begin our service. Merciful God, you created the universe out of love. We live only by your grace and love. In your image and likeness, you created us to form relationships with others. With thankful hearts, we worship you. Praise your holy name forevermore. Let us join together for our opening hymn this morning, number 63, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. Let us pray. Jesus, God with us, we gather as your body in this time and place, and open our hearts and minds to other places, to other people, to your whole creation in all its beauty and brokenness. As the earth cries out, as temperatures rise, as oceans change, as creatures die out, open our ears to hear the cries of creation. May your will be done on earth as in heaven. As people cry out, as land dries out, as floods wash away futures, as food and water become scarce, open our eyes to see what is happening. May your will be done on earth as in heaven. As neighbors cry out, as wars destroy, as violence tears apart and occupations divide, open our minds to understand our place in the world. May your will be done on earth as in heaven. God of all creation, we come, together or alone, longing to meet with you, to be refreshed and restored by the spring of living water, by the source of all life. In your mercy, meet with us here. Spirit of God, who hovered over the waters, harness your power in us to live faithfully and in harmony with the rhythms of righteousness for the restoration of creation and the glory of your name. Our God, we pray for transformation of hearts and minds, for the stones of indifference to become hearts of compassion, for the stones of anxiety to become hearts of hope. Creator God, from the tree of the Garden of Eden to the tree in the city in Revelation, we thank you for your vision of creation healed. Help us to be your agents of restoration, tending to the beauty of the earth and enabling your healing of the nations. Jesus, God with us, as we open our ears and eyes, our minds and hearts, pour out your Spirit upon us that we would be transformed. Then may our words and actions be guided by you to change our minds and hearts and so to change your world. May your will be done on earth as in heaven. And let us join together with the words that your Son Jesus taught us while he was here on earth, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So it's that time for our children's talk. And Zoomers, I'm just going to move to a different point in the front. And I'm going to ask any of our young people who are here to come and join me down the front. Anyone who wants to come and join me, come and grab a wee seat. Can you come and sit down here for me? And then you can see what I'm going to be. That's it. Brilliant. Look at these lovely young people. Yes. It's been a long time since we've seen young people in the church like this. It's brilliant. You guys have definitely grown since I last saw you. So tell me, who enjoys going for a walk? Maybe local people going through Berry's Den. Who likes Berry's Den? You do. Do we like seeing trees and plants and ducks? I do. You do. Perfect. Do you guys have walks where you are? Do you like seeing swans, ducks, birds, trees, flowers? Yes. Wonderful. When you walk to school, or when you go to school rather, who walks to school? Hands up if you walk to school.
And I use my bicycle as well.
Well, that was my next question. Who likes going on their bicycle? Who likes scootering? Do we have any scooterers? Scooterers? You go on a scooter, but does that make you a scooterer? Can I call you a scooterer? I just like making up words. You have a scooter as well. Brilliant. Who does some recycling? Who recycles plastic bottles and paper? And yeah, wonderful. So these are all brilliant ways that we can help our environment, because climate change is affecting many parts of the world. And in the poorer areas, they're actually hit the worst. They actually have it really hard, and they're not as lucky as we are here. Do you want to stand? Of course you can stand up. If you want to stand up, you stand up. So at the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, we read that God created the heavens and the earth and everything in between, the land, the seas, the trees, the animals, the birds, the moon, the stars, the sun in the sky, and of course, us. And a little bit further in Genesis, we hear the story and we read the story of Noah. Now, can anyone tell me anything about the story of Noah? Yes.
He saved all the animals.
He did. Yes. Yes.
He cast them.
Yes. Exactly. So we've pretty much got the whole story of Noah. Noah lived thousands and thousands of years ago. And at that time, there were some people in the world that God didn't really like, and they were doing things that he didn't like. So he decided that he would send a flood to destroy all the badness. But he wanted to save Noah, so he told Noah to build an ark. And the ark was enormous. It was bigger than this church building. Can you imagine that? That's huge. And on the ark, he put two of every kind of animal and bird. And then the rains came down. Do we know how long it rained for? Can anyone remember how long it rained for? Yes.
20.
Very close. It rained for 40 days. So if that was from now, that would take us to about the October holidays. That's a few weeks away. That's quite a while away. Yes. Can you... So after the 40 days, the ark started resting on land. But Noah waited another 40 days, and that would take us to about the end of the year. I think it's a little bit early to mention a certain time of thing that comes towards the end of the year. Very quickly. I'm going to forget where I am in my story. Do you remember what you're going to say? You're going to sit with Granny. So once Noah had the ark had rested and he waited, he sent out a raven. Now a raven is a type of bird, and the raven flew around but didn't find any land. Noah sent out a dove, and the dove flew around, but it didn't find any land either. After 7 days, Noah sent out the dove again, and do you know what the dove came back with? A twig. It was an olive branch or a twig to show that the tops of the trees were starting to show from underneath the floods. Noah waited another 7 days and sent the dove out once more, except this time it didn't come back, because that meant that Noah knew that that meant that the land was now dry, that the floods had gone, and that it was safe for them to leave the ark. So he released all the birds and the animals back on to roam the earth again, once again. And Noah thanked God for saving them all. God made a promise that he would never destroy the earth again with another flood. And there was a symbol that he showed at that time. Does anyone know what maybe might have shown? Yes.
A rainbow.
Yes, so we've got all the animals in the ark. And then God made a rainbow and it shone in the sky. Now that's quite a big promise from God not to destroy the earth again. And we need to do our bit to help look after the world that he created. Yes. I know, it was. And then it reached land and then all the animals were safe again to roam. So what are some of the things we could do to help look after the earth and the planet and the environment? I'll give you a clue. I've already asked you questions about them earlier on. Yes. Recycling. Anything else?
Rainbow.
Rainbow. We can look out for rainbows because we've seen quite a lot of rainbows. That means that people are doing good things. Yes.
Planting trees.
Planting trees. Yes. So I've got a few things listed here. I've got recycle. I've got walk instead of taking the car so we can get outside more so we're not using our cars as much. Things like walking to school or riding your bikes. Don't drop litter. That's another good one. And also planting trees to help grow those forests again. So do you think we could try and do some of those things to help the planet? And maybe we could encourage others to do the same thing? Yes.
They're chopping down trees in the Amazon rainforest.
I know. It's not very good, is it? But maybe if we keep planting trees, that'll create more trees. That would be good. So let's just say a short prayer just to finish off this talk. Creator God, we thank you for the wonderful world you made for us to live in. We are sorry that we might not take the best care of it. We will do our best to look after it and encourage others to do the same so that your wonderful world can live on for many, many years to come. In your name we pray. Amen. So, this next bit is another part of our service that we've not had for quite a while. Can any of our regulars remember what usually comes after the children's talk? Can you remember? Well, there will be an adult talk later on after you've gone out to Sunday club, but we give everyone just a little break. Yes. Birthday blessings! So, has anyone, it's been 18 months, has anyone had a birthday in the last 18 months? Just one person. You had a birthday? You had a birthday?
I had a birthday.
You've had a birthday?
Four.
You're four now, brilliant. Have you had a birthday?
And then, now,
you've had a birthday?
I'm nearly
Nearly five, brilliant. Have you had a birthday?
No.
No? In the last 18 months? So since March last year, when's your birthday? The 28th of October. So you'll have had one birthday, and then your birthday for this year is still to come. Next month, yes, we're in September now. So all of you have had a birthday. Well, I wasn't expecting that. Tell me, everyone in the congregation, has anyone had a birthday in the last 18 months? All of you guys as well? Well, this must be a really special day today then. And I don't think I've got time to get everyone up for birthday blessings. So just say a short prayer and then we will sing our happy birthday. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we thank you for birthdays. We thank you for all the birthdays we have celebrated over the past 18 months. Although we may not have been able to celebrate in the usual way or with as many people as we would have liked, we thank you for being there with us every step and every day. We are all another year older, but it's another year we have been able to share with you. Bless us all as we go through this year until our next birthday. In your precious name we pray. Amen. So seeing as how everyone has had a birthday, I think that means we need to raise the roof with our singing of happy birthday. So for any visitors, the words are on the screen again. They are slightly different, just in case anyone's forgotten them. Hannah, do you think you might be able to help us out with this bit? Happy birthday to you, to Jesus be true. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. Fantastic. So now that we've got our vocal cords all nicely warmed up, and just before Sunday Club head out for your first face-to-face session, we're going to sing our next hymn, which is the popular hymn number 530, One More Step Along the World I Go.
First reading this morning comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, reading verses 1 to 2, 8 to 9, and 22 to 23. Proverbs 22. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common: the Lord is the maker of them all. He who sows wickedness reaps trouble, and the rod of his fury will be destroyed. A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case and will plunder those who plunder them. The second reading from the New Testament, from the book of Mark, chapter 4, reading verses 1 to 10 and 13 to 20. A reading which will be familiar to all of us, I'm sure. Mark chapter 4. Once again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times." Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, we give thanks. Amen." Our next hymn is number 147, and if you're using a hymn book, we are omitting verses 5 and 6. Hymn 147, "All Creatures of Our God and King."
As many of you know, I have recently undertaken a charity walking challenge where on average I walked 11 miles every day for 100 days. During this time, I documented my journey through taking photographs, which mostly turned out to be flowers, like this pretty pink one, and this pretty purple one. You get the idea. Many people have joked that my next challenge should be learning the names of all these flowers. But it was a lovely opportunity to get closer to nature and subsequently closer to God. When searching for ideas for the theme for this service, I found that this was the season of creation. The season of creation is the time of year when the world's 2.2 billion Christians are invited to pray and care for creation. It runs annually from the 1st of September through to the 4th of October. The season of creation unites the global Christian family around one shared purpose. It has been described as a time to pray for the protection of creation and the promotion of sustainable lifestyles that reverse our contribution to climate change. Suddenly, it seemed to all fit together that this is what I should speak about this morning. Deep peace of the running wave to you. Deep peace of the flowing air to you. Deep peace of the quiet earth to you. Deep peace of the shining stars to you. Deep peace of the Sun of Peace to you. This traditional Gaelic blessing comes from a time when people could believe with all their hearts in the deep peace of creation. Humankind might rage and contend across borders and continents. Empires might rise and fall. Men and women might flower and die, to be blown away like grass in the wind. But the running wave, the flowing air, the quiet earth, the shining stars, these things would endure unchanging, promising deep peace in their stability, their beauty, and their purity. They were elemental things. They were part of the substance of the universe. Creation was made by Jesus, through Jesus, and for Jesus, Colossians 1, verse 16. That's a stunning declaration of our planet's worth. This is a world of awe-inspiring beauty, a world that God has created, teeming with life, full of diversity and abundance and colour. The Bible shows that God, people, and the natural world are deeply interconnected. If one aspect of those relationships is broken, then everything will be impacted, for example, in Amos chapter 8. We don't have to look very far to see evidence of this. Racial injustice, gender inequality, and environmental breakdown. The climate crisis is wreaking havoc in our world, putting millions of lives at risk. It's intensifying global threats such as extreme weather events, sea level rise, and melting glaciers. The overwhelming scientific consensus is that this is a human-made problem, driven by the burning of fossil fuels, releasing heat-trapping gases such as carbon dioxide. We are seeing the outworking of a global system built on greed and overconsumption, one that is fundamentally at odds with God's original intention for the world. We are reaping what we've sown. We know that natural disasters are only going to increase in frequency and severity over time as a result of climate change. Today, we're going to reflect on what the Bible has to say about this by considering three R's. I know that you may be thinking that I'm going to say reduce, reuse, and recycle, and that would fit with the theme of today's service. But what I would like us to consider are God's call to rejoice, repent, and respond. Our reading from Mark demonstrates an intimate knowledge of creation and invites us to rejoice in God's love of creation. Jesus demonstrates his own detailed understanding of creation. In the parable of the sower, where the sowing of the seed is compared to the sowing of the word of God, Jesus invites us to look to the example of the good soil, or with open hearts to hear, accept, and produce a good crop by serving the Lord. He describes the issues that can hinder the growth of crops. He knows how drought can cause plants to wither, or how rocky ground prevents the development of roots. Even though he was a carpenter by trade, he knew the importance of nutritious soil for a bountiful harvest. Jesus has an intimate knowledge of the workings of creation. But Jesus also shows us something else too. He teaches us that not only does he have an intimate relationship with creation, but that also we can learn about our Heavenly Father through it, whether it's through the relentlessness of weeds, the character of birds, or the power of a mustard seed. Time and again, Jesus points to the Father and the way he works through creation. From the Psalms to the Gospels, we see the ways creation can reveal more of God's character and inspire us to worship, and we see how God delights and finds joy in all that he's made. But when we look at the world today, we can see the many ways that we've damaged this beautiful gift God has given us. We are called to repent over how we've damaged creation and how that is impacting people in poverty. The ways we live and work and consume have pushed creation to breaking point, whether it is plastic pollution littering seas, species going extinct at record rates, or the climate crisis making droughts, floods, and storms more frequent and severe. We've misused and damaged this beautiful gift of God. We're feeling some of the effects in the UK and Europe, with floods in Germany and wildfires in Greece and Turkey, but the impacts are hitting people in poverty the hardest. It's hard to grasp what that really means. It's big and abstract. So let me quickly introduce you to Orbisa, whose story has been provided by Tear Fund. Orbisa is a 35-year-old mother who lives in the Afar region of Ethiopia. A few years ago, Orbisa could rely on the rains. Now, because of the change in climate, they are far less predictable. So she walks up to 10 hours a day, every day, to find water for her family to drink. Her livelihood depends on selling livestock, but drought has killed 9 of her 10 cows. So let's pause for a second. The stark reality is that Orbisa is paying the price for emissions, which have mostly been generated by developed nations like the UK. This is what she said to Tear Fund. The area was very fertile and green, but it hasn't rained for 6 months, and I don't know when it will rain next. I feel worried whenever I think about the future. Around the world, millions of people like Orbisa are being pushed back into poverty because of climate change. The science is clear. The climate crisis is being caused by us, and the impacts are accelerating. We are running out of time to prevent the worst effects. We must act fast and change the way we live, and governments and companies have to be much more ambitious. But right now, we have a unique window of opportunity. How we choose to rebuild after the pandemic will shape our economy, climate, and society in the decades to come. This is a crucial moment, especially with the UN's important climate change conference, COP26, coming to our doorstep in Glasgow this November. In the Bible, Jesus tells us the most important commandments are to love God and to love our neighbours. Tackling the climate crisis is vital to both. Honouring God by protecting his creation and loving our global neighbours who are hit first and worst by what is now a climate emergency. It is easy to slip into despair when we consider the magnitude of the situation, which is why we must consider our response on the hope we find in Jesus. Colossians 1:19 and 20 says this, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, Jesus, and through him to reconcile himself to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." To reconcile to himself all things, things on earth and things in heaven. To me, this says I need a much bigger view of Jesus. He didn't come just to reconcile me with my Father in heaven, but to reconcile and restore all things in heaven and on earth. That's far more than just us. Jesus came to begin the restoration of the world to how God intended it to be, to make all things new, and he is at work even in this very moment. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, we have hope that all things can be made new. Everything sin has broken and corrupted is being restored and reconciled to God. And what's more, we can be a part of it. Jesus invites us to participate in his mission in this world. The world is crying out, but God is at work, and we are invited to join him in a ministry of reconciliation, reconciling people to their Father, but also reconciling people to the creation we've been given to steward and seeing it restored. This is the fullness of the gospel, not a side issue. So how can we respond? To answer that question, let's turn to Esther in the Old Testament. In the face of a crisis, she responds with faith and courage. In the book of Esther, the Persian king makes plans to wipe out the Jews, but Esther's uncle, Mordecai, warns her about the plan. Esther's response to the news of the threat to her people is remarkable. She tells Mordecai to gather people together to pray and fast. While they do, she will approach the king and ask him to reconsider, even though she knows it is against the law and she could lose her life. In chapter 4, she says to Mordecai, "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." Esther teaches us that following Jesus requires us to speak up against injustice, even when it's costly to ourselves, and that we should act from a foundation of prayer. As we contemplate the scale of the climate crisis, it's important that we keep our eyes fixed on God. He is the God of justice and restoration, who cares for the poor and is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Let's stand against or alongside Orbisa and all of those impacted by climate change around the world and in our prayers by taking action. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a God of justice. Thank you that you know Orbisa and her family and all those already impacted by climate change. We are sorry for the ways we've damaged your creation. Help us make changes in our own lives to love our global neighbors well. Holy Spirit, stir the hearts of our government, guide them in all their decision-making, and inspire them to protect the most vulnerable. Amen. We continue our service this morning with our next hymn, number 259, Beauty for Brokenness.
Thank you.
We now come before God with our prayers of dedication and intercession. Let us pray. Father, we bring you our gifts to acknowledge your presence. We offer them before you as a part of our worship. We lay them before you as a sign of our commitment. We present them to you as a symbol of our service. We set our offerings before you, and with them we give ourselves to you as a sign of our love. God of all hopefulness, we bring before you our concerns for the world and her people. Gracious God, we turn to you, for you are the source of our hope and the creator of our kingdom. We pray for parents around the world who reach out in hope for their children. We pray for justice when they struggle to provide food for their families, when they cannot find a place to make a home for their children. Gracious God, we turn to you, for you are the source of our hope and the creator of the kingdom. We pray for those who find themselves on the margins of their societies. We pray for justice, that they might confront centers of power with the experience of life on the margins, that they might be allowed to contribute to the welfare of society, that we may all be enriched by the insights and wisdom they bring to our communities. Gracious God, we turn to you, for you are the source of our hope and the creator of our kingdom. We pray for our common home and all who seek to ensure its well-being. We pray for justice, that all nations of the world will work together for the common good of each person and the planet, that conservation will enable habitats to flourish while meeting the needs of local communities, that we each understand the impact we have upon the earth and adjust our lifestyle accordingly. Gracious God, we turn to you, for you are the source of our hope and the creator of the kingdom. We pray for ourselves. Disturb us and disquiet us with a passion for justice. Challenge us to grasp a vision of your new world and motivate us to act to birth it into being. Enable us to pass on the gift of hope so others are empowered to continue the journey of faith. Gracious God, we turn to you, for you are the source of our hope and the creator of our kingdom. In the name of the Creator, Son, and Spirit, Amen. We bring our service to a close this morning by singing a hymn that has very fitting words for the theme of this morning's service. It is one we haven't sung very often, so I have asked Hannah to use a more well-known tune to help us. It's hymn 706, For the Healing of the Nations. God the Creator, who has blessed us with all that we need in this life, go into the world with courage, that we might be the channels through which the Lord can bring relief to others. And the blessing of the Creator God, the Eternal Father, the Risen Son, and the promised Holy Spirit bless us, that we might be a blessing to others today and always.